Why don't you turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, as we look at some realities. On Thursday, as you know, it was Ascension Day. And we are busy in the process of looking and understanding and just allowing the Holy Spirit to take us into the life of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and into the life of His ascension, to really give us a, not just an intellectual understanding, but for us to live in the life of it, to live in the reality of it. Because that's when we start to get the wisdom on how it works, how to minister the new covenant ministry, as we begin to really go beyond the knowledge and into the very life, the experience of his word. Remember, Jesus is the word, and it's not just intellectual. We want to live in the reality of being in him and what the power of his death and resurrection and ascension is all about. And one of the things, as we are busy now looking at what the gospel is and just beginning to think about it, so that when we witness with people, it's not just going to be words, but it's at living waters. We're speaking with the Spirit that's writing onto their hearts. And this is the whole reality of the new covenant ministry that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit writes life on the hearts of people. And it's the Holy Spirit that breaks through where Satan has blinded the minds of people. The Holy Spirit breaks through that and reveals the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And so this is where we are. So he's working in us. We are yielding to him. We are asking the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to really get this established. Because as I said, we not just want to just rattle off words when we share the gospel. We want to speak life. Okay. And that's what we are busy in the process of. And this is what we're praying for one another. And so to understand the ascension and the reality of the ascension, it's important for us to understand not just the death of Jesus, but his resurrection. Because then we begin to understand what the ascension is all about. And so today, I want to focus a little bit more on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we can really, wow, this is what more and more. You know, Peter writes in 2 Peter, and he starts in chapter 1, and he speaks about adding to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. And he carries on about then self-discipline, brotherly love, etc. And as we continually grow in this, what takes place, we become very effective in the reality of knowing Jesus and him, he's living his life through us. Otherwise, he says, if we forget the reality of salvation and what Christ has done, what happens? We forget that we've even been saved from our sins. And we don't want that. We want to grow so that we can really become more and more fruitful and effective in advancing the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he continuously teaches us the reality of Jesus Christ and the Father, so that we get to really know it and live in the reality of what he has done. Now, in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 7 verses over here. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Even if you just think of that for a moment, we see there in Jeremiah chapter 1 and the calling of Jeremiah, before you were born, I really set you apart to be a prophet. And here we see an amazing truth for you and I. Before we were even born, God has already set us apart. And here the Holy Spirit had revealed, Paul had had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he knew why he was born. He understood purpose. He understood reason for existence. The Holy Spirit came. And that's often a good place to be when I was speaking to someone yesterday, just wanting to try and decide on the way in their future, not sure what to do. but they haven't yet got to the place where, Lord, what is your will for my life? I've got my plans. What is your will? What have you predestined? What have you already determined before I was even born? That's what I want. But that takes a yieldedness. That takes, okay, yes, Lord, so will I. Okay. And you need God's grace, and you pray for God's grace for each and every one of us to get a place where we continually, it's a daily thing, continually yielding, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth, our Father in heaven. So, here Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Now verse 2 is quite an important verse. The gospel he promised beforehand through the prophets in his holy scriptures regarding his son. That's also fascinating. Revelation 13, before the foundation of the world, Christ was slain. So the gospel of his son Jesus Christ we see as not just an afterthought. Here we see that before man was created, before man fell, God had already made the provision in his son. That's the plan. And the moment Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis 3 verse 15, the gospel is promised. Through you, your seed, there will be a son, there will be a child that will crush Satan's head. So straight away we see throughout scripture how God's incredible good news concerning his son Jesus was already promised to mankind. And we go through all of that, then you see continually how throughout scripture his son was promised all the time. And that's why it's gospel, it's God's good news. It's his good news for mankind. And that good news is concerning his son Jesus Christ. That's his good news for all of mankind, which he promised right in the very beginning, and throughout scripture, through the prophets, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it continued, and then when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a virgin. And we see that come a reality here on our earth. As in heaven, let it be here on earth. And that took place. So, we've got to know when we share the gospel, it's God's good news to mankind. We've got to know that this good news of God was before the Quran. It was before any philosophy. It was before anything that man made and all the different religions came up with. It's before all of that. It's always been. We need to have the confidence that this is the eternal gospel. From eternity, it's always been. And that stood the time. It hasn't failed yet. We need to have the confidence in these things. And that's why when we just stop and just read a few words like this morning, and we ask Holy Spirit, share with us, take us into this, that we have the confidence that what we are communicating has always been. And it's not just come up because it's now a different generation X or generation Z, whatever it may be these days, or why, whatever it may be, but it's always been. It's available, it's suitable, it's relevant for all generations still to come. This is the mightiness of our God that can communicate something that stands the test of time, goes through all cultural changes, all traditions, all wars. Everything that changes, this good news concerning his son just continues to be powerful and touches lives. Very relevant to all mankind. So, that's the good news. And this is what we are growing into and learning, that we can be confident we can share this because it was before creation already and it's powerful. Okay, so, let's carry on. Regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. So we see the human reality, the name Jesus, it's his human name to save us from our sins. Now we see the human nature of Jesus who was promised throughout scripture. And then we carry on, and through the spirit of holiness, through by the Holy Spirit, was declared, was proclaimed, was announced. What was it all about? Through, was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Him, for His name's sake, we have received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. You also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And He says to all in Rome, or to all here this morning, who are loved by God and called to be saints. So here we see something profound about this resurrection of Jesus. Because the resurrection of Jesus, you can see the Father is making a statement, and the Father is saying to the world, this is my Son. He's declaring the sonship of Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? It's the good news concerning His Son Jesus Christ. And here we see something about the resurrection that God uses to speak to the world, to prove, to testify, to announce that everything that Jesus spoke about who He was is absolutely true. He is my Son. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and He said there in John chapter 16 that when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict, is going to prove to the world regarding what sin is all about. And He carries on, and it'll prove to the world the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Important. So when we're starting to put together the gospel message, we cannot neglect the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the resurrection is declaring that He is truly the Son of God. Fully man, but fully God. And the Holy Spirit is busy witnessing and testifying to the people that this is the reality. We have a look at that as we continue this morning. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 is a well-known scripture where we read there that the Word of God is alive and it's active. It's powerful. And the Holy Spirit has been helping us all to not only live in the reality of the death of Jesus, that in His death we died and the power of sin is broken. And as we hear those words, as we read those words, we experience how alive those words are within us. We experience the power of those words that we died with Christ Jesus. We live in the reality of the power of that truth, where we find there that we are no longer slave to sin, because the power of Christ, what He did on the cross, has broken that power of sin that used to rule us and reign over our lives. We live in the reality of that, so we know how alive the Word of God is. Likewise now with the resurrection, because we have been raised with Him. So the Holy Spirit's wanting us to live in the reality of this new life in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to the scriptures God spoke a few weeks back. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 onwards, and He carries on, but now, in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. You see, He wants us to live in the reality, the life, the power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then from that moment to live in the reality and the power of the glorified Son of God, who now reigns because of the ascension in and through us. Being a believer is not dead. Being a believer is very alive. You have to ask the question, why was Paul not ashamed to preach the gospel? What did he know? Why was he not ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? because he understood and he knew the reality. He lived in the reality. It is a power of God for salvation for those who believe. First-hand experience of how real and powerful is this good news, this love story, this incredible good news of God our Father concerning his Son Jesus Christ. He had confidence. He lived in the reality. He saw the results. And each and every one of us are the results of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We live in the reality. So that is why we mustn't be ashamed, because it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. This is why it's so crucial for us to not just have the, but to have it alive within us. We speak life to people so that they can get born again. Even if we might be pretty shy and intimidated, but this has got a spark within us that this is the power of God. And as we speak that in our maybe being timid, that the power of God is at work. Because the power of God is not timid. And so, be bold and speak, even if you're shy, whatever it may be, let us continue to communicate. This gospel, this good news, another wonderful scripture that the Holy Spirit's been highlighting recently is in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and I'm just reading it from another translation. Here, I mentioned it last week and also Wednesday. Here we have the reality of Paul praying for the believers, the leaders in the church of Ephesus. And he's praying and he's committing them to God. And he's telling them, listen guys, when I'm leaving, yeah, there's going to be many wolves coming to try and steal and destroy your lives, etc. But he says, this is what he prays. He says, so now I entrust you into God's hands and the message of his grace. So here, just think about this. Here Paul is entrusting them into God's incredible hands. Remember what Jesus says? Those in the Father's hands, no one can snatch. Likewise, no one can snatch them out of my hands. God who keeps us to the very end is faithful to do that. All the scriptures that we read over there. So here he's committing, he's entrusting. What an incredible prayer. We've got people that are just being born again. What a privilege for you and I to entrust them into the incredible reality of God and his care and his incredible way of ministering and helping. But he doesn't just stop there. He says, I entrust you into God's grace and the message, into God's hands and the message of his grace. What are we learning? The message we're speaking about is a message of his grace, what he has done on our behalf in and through his son Jesus Christ, the good news of God. And here we see that Paul is saying, I'm entrusting you into the reality of God's hands because I know he's got you, but also I'm trusting you into the reality of this message of grace. I'm putting you into the life of this message, this good news of God's grace, what he has done through his son Jesus Christ on our behalf. And then he carries on, because, which he says here, which is all that you need to become strong. Powerful. And then he carries on, all of God's blessings are imparted through the message of his grace. Sure. That you should take and go and spend the rest of the week when we see in Ephesians 1 verse 3. In Christ you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Here Paul is saying it's through this message of grace, this good news of God. You must not be ashamed of the gospel. through this incredible message of grace, which is all you need to become strong. All of God's blessings are imparted through the message of his grace, which he provides as a spiritual inheritance given to all of his holy ones. It Every promise is a yes in Christ Jesus. Peter Wright said that through these incredible promises of God, we partake in His divine nature. We have everything that we need to live godly lives through the message of grace. And all of a sudden, when Jesus says, "It is finished," we start to realize, wow, the completeness of His death and resurrection. The message of God's grace. The fullness of grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Law came through Moses. And all of a sudden, as we begin to realize and get an understanding of more and more of this incredible grace of God, what He has done on our behalf in and through His Son Jesus, we start to realize that everything that we ever need comes through the message of grace. I cannot go and buy it. I cannot try and manipulate God to get. He has provided through His Son Jesus Christ. Freely receive, freely give. So we go back to a few Sundays back. What I have, I freely give. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What has God given to us that we can give to the world? Growing in that, getting understanding, practicing that now, so that it becomes fruitful more and more and brings glory to God. So we are in an amazing place. So let's carry on with the resurrection. In Psalm 16, in Acts 13, it's easier to get this. In Acts 13, the resurrection, as we see here, God declares that Jesus is my Son. So He's confirming the sonship of our Lord Jesus Christ. So everything that Scripture says in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, the deity of the Messiah, the resurrection says, you see, it was true. Important, because every single conflict that the apostles and Jesus had was concerning His resurrection. Because the resurrection, only the righteous are raised from the dead. And Jesus, the only righteous one, was raised from the dead, declaring that He is the Son of God. So we read here in Acts when, through the psalmist, where we see this, so you will not let your Holy One see decay. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they knew this. The priests, everybody knew this. Everybody else died, and they said, look at David died, and all of a sudden Jesus Christ gets raised from the dead. And the Word of God said, you will not let your Holy One see decay. God, my Father, you will not let your Holy One see decay. The resurrection declares the Holy One, the Sonship, did not see decay. It's God's Son. We are not preaching a word that is a religious figure that is believed as the leader of a religion. He's speaking about the incredible living Son of God, alive, ascended, overcame death. Okay, let's go look at some more scriptures. The Gospel of John is one of the most incredible Gospels that speaks about this. Jesus made certain claims about His life. Jesus often said, my Father. He often said, I'm His Son. He often said, the Father and I are one. He made so many claims. And so the resurrection proves that His claims were true. He is the Son of God. Important for us to know and to live in the reality of this because of the ascension, because now the living Son of God is continually His work through you and I on earth. So from the book of Acts, we see the reality of the ascended Son of God continuing the Great Commission in and through our lives. So we carry on, and in John chapter 5 and verse 17, yeah, they're busy persecuting Jesus. The Jews try to persecute Jesus because He is healing on the Sabbath, and He's doing this wonderful works on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work, so this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill Him. Not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God. That must have been quite something. The resurrection says, you see, Pharisees, you religious people that try to persecute my Son, He is the Son of God. He is who He said He was to be. That's who He is. Listen to Him. And the resurrection is that voice that says, listen to my Son. Listen what He said in your midst. And the Holy Spirit continues today to testify and to say the same thing to many, many, many people, even today. We read some more scriptures there, verse 18. Or let's go down to verse 20. We read over here, "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, to your amazement, He will show Him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it." Powerful, because just now we're going to read a scripture where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Yeah, Jesus is busy sharing that as the Father gives life, so too I give life. In John chapter 10, also a well-known scripture, where, and I'm sharing the scriptures because you might want to use these scriptures when you start to put together your gospel presentation. You start meditating so that it's alive and you're able to share these scriptures with people. In John chapter 10 verse 29, we read over here, where He speaks about, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." Again, Jesus is telling, "I and the Father are one. I'm the Son of the living God. I'm not just human. I'm also divine. Fully God, fully man." And He's again sharing this great testimony, God's good news concerning His Son, as to His human flesh, descendant of David, but the reality of His deity, of His divinity, He is the Son of God. The resurrection proves it. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, this is an incredible truth, this. Here, Lazarus is dead and the sisters come and ask Him to come and raise him up, or come and touch him and heal him. And Jesus said in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." Amazing that He says, "I am the resurrection." Not that I'm going to be raised. He also says it in other places. But I am the resurrection. Therefore, in Romans chapter 6, when Paul writes there that in Christ we have been raised from the dead, "I am the resurrection." We are living in Him who is the resurrection. He is the life. Resurrection is not a word, it's a person. Ha ha. It'll be good to sit with resurrection and speak to resurrection. And ask him, please tell me the story. Tell me your story. Resurrection. The good news concerning his son is not just words. It's the person. He is the resurrection. He is the life. We understand when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is highlighting that he's also the resurrection. And we are in him. Are we afraid to die? Are we afraid what happens after this body leaves the earth? If we're afraid, maybe because we don't realize that he is the resurrection and we are in him. There's no death for us. Maybe we can get excited of God's good news because we are living in the resurrection. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I would spend time meditating on that there. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Maybe he asked us today, do you believe this? There's been a prayer that we've been praying, and I've been praying, and I think many have been praying, because we've been asking the Father to, we don't want to just hear about the message of reconciliation. We don't want to just hear about atonement. We don't want to just hear and read about it. We're praying, take us into it. We want to live in the fullness of this as a life, as an experience, as a reality. Let's keep on praying for one another that this will be so real to us as believers. It's life-changing. We can carry on and on and on and on. Let's go John chapter 14 and then we'll go to the next point. In John chapter 14 and verse 17, again, you might want to just use these scriptures. And Jesus is speaking about verse 28. When Jesus is speaking about his departure, And he said, you heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. So here we see once again Jesus saying, I'm going back to the Father. The resurrection proves and confirms everything that Jesus said. He is the truth. There's no deception in Jesus. And look what takes place. Remember when Jesus was buried? The Pharisees come to Pilate. And they say to Pilate, that deceiver said that on the third day he's going to be raised up again. I wonder why they would say that. So please put a guard seal. Remember, Rome is the superpower of the day. So the mighty power, the strength, the arm of the law is protecting that tomb. Because the deceiver, Jesus, said he's going to be raised up on the third day. What happened on the third day? He's no longer the deceiver. All of a sudden, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, despite the mighty superpower of Rome trying to prevent that from taking place, we see the power of God declaring he is the Son of God. He is. Who he said he was. And so the people, the religious leaders come and say, please, Pilate, let's give these people, the guards, some money so that they can go and spread the rumors that the disciples came and stole. Because the resurrection proved to them that this person that they crucified is truly the Son of God. They could not deny it anymore. And it still proves today. Because the wages of sin is death. And so the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ proves the reality of the incredible perfect sacrifice, the good news of God, Him laying down His life for us. It proves the reality of forgiveness. It proves the reality that the Father has forgiven us. It proves the reality of reconciliation. It's such a proof of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the wages of sin is death. Death ruled, sin ruled. And here we see Jesus perfect, sinless, without sin, without deceit in His mouth. Nothing. There being buried, put to death, but rising up again, declaring, you guys, the wages of sin was death, but I'm not a sinner. Look, I have now brought the victory. I have now dethroned the reign of sin and death. So that you, as you believe in me, you can now receive my resurrection life. You can take my life and live forever and ever. See? This is more and more of the reality of the incredible resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I know the reality that the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You and I know the reality of forgiveness because when we gave our life to Jesus, what a joy of freedom. We know the resurrection of Christ Jesus. So our freedom proves the reality that Christ is truly the Son of God and He dealt with the power of sin. We know the reality of what it is to be taken out of that old Adam man where sin ruled and reigned and death reigned in our lives and placed us into Christ Jesus as a new creation. We know the reality of what it is to be a new person in Christ Jesus where the power of sin is no longer our master. The evidence, the resurrection proves that Jesus is who He said He was. When the angel gave Him the name Jesus, to save the people from their sins. What a powerful name. And the resurrection says, you see, what the angel said to Mary and Joseph, what the angel said about the name of Jesus, it's absolutely true. You and I are living in the reality of that truth today. Or we can carry on. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when I go back to my Father, I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the proof and the evidence of the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Because He's now raised and He went to the Father and He asked the Father and the Father says yes and the Holy Spirit came down and the church became a reality. And the kingdom of God has been growing and advancing ever since. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is that powerful reality of our King Jesus Christ, the ascended glorious Son of God that's still alive, it's living, it's ruling by the power of the Holy Spirit advancing the kingdom of God. And you and I are the evidence of us continually ministering, continually touching lives, continually advancing the kingdom of God. We are the evidence of the ascension and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are a witness, we are a testimony to the world. Because our lives prove to the world the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live in the reality of the person resurrection as the evidence to the world. Have you ever considered that? That our lives testify to the world that Christ is alive. Christ has been raised from the dead and has ascended and has given us the Holy Spirit. All the time as we experience the wonderful fellowship of the Holy Spirit within us and the experiencing as the Holy Spirit gives us truth is the evidence of the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think religion wants to try and deny the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the evidence of the ascended Christ. Why do you think time and time again, whenever the apostles were being brought to trial and they started to speak about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all hell broke loose? Sure, we have a gospel. We've got a really good news from our Heavenly Father. And you and I are the living proof of it. We live in the reality of living gospel. Living good news for all to read and see and hear. And everything will try, come against that to try and say, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. We need to pray for one another so we don't believe Satan's lies that comes to steal, rob and destroy. Christ gives life, and he gives life to the fullness. God, quality of life that is all for all eternity. What else shall we say? Well, there's one more thing. Let's just quickly look at the resurrection. And then we see there where Jesus is speaking in Acts chapter 1, and he speaks to the disciples and that, and he says, wait, because the gift that the Father has promised. Remember, I'm going to go and ask him for that gift. You've got to wait for me to leave. I'm going to need to go and ask my Father. And then the ascension goes. And Christ is going up and up and up. And then who's standing there with him? Two angels. And they said to him, listen guys, as you see the Son of God going up, taken from you, so he will be returning like that. The resurrection and the ascension is a guarantee of Christ's second return. We've got something to look forward to. So, hopefully we've got some insights that we can start thinking about not only the sacrifice of Jesus. We spend a lot of time of having died with him, etc., and the power of sin, but now there's the resurrection, the new life in him. What that entails. Because now we are living in the reality of the Son of God. We're living in the victory. We're living in the reality of how the Father has said, this is my Son. We're living in the reality of truth, that whatever Jesus spoke about in his lifetime is so, so true. And we're living in that truth. Let no one deceive us in this area. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to teach us more, take us in. Let us sit with resurrection, the person, Jesus Christ, the resurrected. He is the resurrection. And let's ask him to continue to share and take us deeper into the life of that. And we get the wisdom on how to live, how to apply it in all situations. Because it's no longer just surface level intellectual understanding. We're living in it, we're experiencing it, we're getting to know the power and the life of resurrection truth. Amen. So Jesus, we're going to sit together now and just celebrate not only your death, but we're celebrating the fact that you were raised from the dead. We want to thank you for the mighty work of the Holy Spirit that just came and just opened up the tomb and declared, and Father, it was such a declaration that Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, is truly the Son of God. Lord, we're going to be celebrating, we're thanking you this morning, Lord Jesus, for the powerful work of your blood that paid the price, that dealt with our sins. We want to thank you for your body but particularly in this side of this of the truth today, where you took our place, and because of the holiness of God, the wrath of God had to be satisfied, and you satisfied the Father with your sacrifice. You satisfied His wrath. You satisfied His holiness. You satisfied His grace, His compassion, His mercy, His love. You satisfied every who He is and all that we don't need know. You satisfied Him completely because You were the perfect sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God that was slain. So we want to celebrate You this morning. We want to celebrate freedom with You, Jesus, because You set us free. So today we want to celebrate freedom, and we ask, Father, that any one of us here that somehow our minds are captured with darkness, somehow our emotions are captured, somehow our just our bodies, whatever it may be, may just be so captured in one area or the other. Holy Spirit, thank You as You just release the truth of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, we so appreciate You being here to touch the lives in a supernatural way and to minister to each and every one. So we thank You. Thank You that we can sit with You. Thank You that we can sit with You, Father, and with You, Holy Spirit. And we can celebrate Your gospel, Father, Your good news concerning Your Son, Jesus Christ. So this we thank You and give You the praise and glory for this time this morning. Amen.